considering what Morikawa has just accomplished, 2 in 8 tournaments, who do you project to win the most majors over the next decade?
Well, I mean, if you're including what's already in the bank or starting from now, like starting from scratch.
Starting from now.
I would probably put John Rahm at the top
of
the list.
Me too. That's who I picked.
I put Rahm 1. I think Morikawa would probably have to be number 2. I think Justin Thomas will still have more. Let's bring in Chris Solomon. You hear him on the No Laying Up podcast. Great follow on Twitter. These guys are a blast. They do golf unlike anyone else. He's making his debut here on Overdrive. It's great to have him on. Again, Chris Solomon from the No Laying Up podcast. What's happening, Chris?
Brian, Carlo, thank you guys so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Why don't you answer that question? I mean, if we were starting from scratch, so not taking into consideration anything anyone has in the bank, the next, let's say, 5 years, if you had to pick one player that you would put money on to win the most majors between now and that 5-year mark, who would you take?
My answer, I try to think of this right, you know, my answer would have been different probably 6 months ago than it is now, right? Which, you know, these things don't last forever, but if you're asking right now who projects the best, you're spot on with Rahm. I mean, the numbers love this guy more than his results have given us so far, and I know he just won a major 2 majors ago, but his prominence in the game of golf has probably just gone a little unappreciated. Got robbed of a title he would have won going away at the Memorial. He won the Memorial last year. He just won the U.S. Open. And his just strokes game, his proficiency at getting the ball in the hole is so clearly better than everyone else in golf right now. Yet when Dustin Johnson won by 5 last November at the Masters, I would have answered the question, Dustin Johnson. I mean, his game, I would have thought, projected really well, but we've seen him regress. So what I've been putting out in the last 48 hours has been, I've been the guy that nobody likes. This is not fun. This is not a fun thing to do. But pouring cold water over everything of expectations, because, you know, I got, you know, when Spieth won 3 majors before he turned 24, when Rory won 4 majors before he turned 25, I gave those guys 8 and 10 majors respectively. And wow. I think I've finally learned my lesson that you just, this, it always feels like it's going to last forever, and it almost never does. So just preaching caution when projecting out too many major championships into the future. I've officially become old. I've officially become that guy. But the numbers just say, like, it is just so unlikely to win these things. Just don't take it for granted when a guy goes out and wins one.
No, yeah, I think that is 100% appropriate. Like, we all saw Tiger, and then we want Tiger, so we project Tiger. You know, it's like, well, someone else will eventually do that, and there's never going to be a Tiger, and there's too many other guys who are in the same, you know, ballpark. Like, as much as I look at Rahm and the answer I just gave, and you agreed with that, that would obviously be my pick, Mr. Major is Koepka.
Like, yeah.
Koepka, and he's got 4 already, but he is in every single major as well, and I expect that to continue. I think Justin Thomas has more. He didn't have a great major season, but I think he's got more to give. Bryson clearly is going to be in the conversation. I think Shoffley's going to get one, maybe 2. I think Cantlay has the game to get 1 or 2. I think Hovland has the game. Like, there's just so many guys where you look at it, and then you know there's going to be scattered random winners. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, that's the nature of major golf, and there's no reason to believe it won't continue for the next 5 years.
Well, I think you did what we'd love to do. You gave out more majors than there are. And that's
exactly
why you end up, you know, with these guys that, you know, just seem like they should win more majors than they have. And, I mean, honestly, I think you throw Tiger out, and I literally want to do that. I want to throw Tiger out, right, because he's changed everything, all of our general expectations. Just look at Phil. 6 majors is so many majors. We are so familiar with this guy. He's not the first of 6 majors. I don't think he'll be the last. But, like, does anyone in this era get to 6? I think that's a very fair question to ask at this point. It certainly seems like Koepka can get 2 more. But, like when 2014 passed, you would have – I don't know what you would have had to do. I wouldn't have made any bet that looked like Rory McIlroy would be sitting here in 2021 with 4 majors. And that's just the reality of it sometimes. You never know when the peak is, and it just – gosh, I miss the old me 4 years ago where I would get super excited and give away as many as you guys are wanting to give away right now. I hate this new me.
Yep. Me too. Well, I hate that guy as well. No offense.
Well, you talk about Koepka. I mean, he had a chance to win another one And you think going into the final round, final pairing up against Phil Mickelson, who was 50 years old and still couldn't close that one out because Mickelson plays the round of his life and wins, you know, another major with that tournament. So you're right about projecting, these guys to win tournaments. But, you know, even another guy is Jordan Spieth. I mean, think about the year Jordan Spieth has had. He's been in contention in every tournament he's played in, and he hasn't won.
Right. He won the Valero this year, but he has not won the one of the majors this year, which we were kind of hoping to be fully back. We'd have to see one of those. But I try to think of it in this regard. So, like, one of the Rom pretty much has. I think Rom had maybe, if we look at the probability models, maybe an 8% chance of winning the Open before it started. I always do this. I always picture a basketball court. Where's an 8% shot, huh? Like, where would that be? Is it the opposite free throw line? I don't know what it is. It's not surprising. It wouldn't be surprising you take Steph Curry and put him back at an 8% shot. And it wouldn't surprise anyone to miss 10 in a row, right? That's 2.5 years of majors. And that's the number one player. So, again, golf is just so crazy hard to win one of these things. I look at Louis Oosthuizen, man, and I have no personal connection to the guy, but my heart just breaks for somebody that can beat 99% of the best players in the world like 6 or 7 times and not get a title out of it. It's just got to be so maddening. It's just got to, you know, drive him absolutely up a wall that he hasn't been able to get a trophy out of his last several great major championship appearances.
We're chatting with Chris Solomon from the No Laying Up podcast. Colin Morikawa winning the Open Championship yesterday. That's 2 in the bank for him. He won the PGA last year at Harding Park and then this past weekend at Royal St. George's at the Open. So there is a difference between, you know, who we project to win in the biggest moments because intangibles can come into play. There are stats that can come into play. History can come into play. But taking all of that out of it at a neutral site golf course for one round, where they're all playing at their best, who do you think is the best player in the world right now?
That's Rom. That's definitely for sure Rom. I mean, his opening round, when he shoots 71 in round one, that's the only thing that kept him from winning this golf tournament. I mean, he played, as the golf course got harder, he got better. He is just, the word that came to mind for me for him was, he's a buoy. Like, you just can't sink him. Like, you could hold a buoy underwater for a little while, but, like, that thing is going to rise to the top. That's just what it felt like as he was just leapfrogging guys on the leaderboard this past week, and it's not even going to be up there among the major, the memorable major championship performances, right? Because he didn't win it. But it, numbers and my gut both check out and say John Rahm's best is the best right now, and it, you know, even him at like a B plus is better than, I'd say, you know, his B plus game is easily a top 10 player in the world right now, which is kind of scary.
Chris, how much fun are you having watching the rivalry, or at least the troll game that's been created with Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka? It's just like, you know, ever since it came out a couple of weeks ago how Brooks feels about Bryson, you're seeing other people start to get really annoyed with his antics, and it's almost like Bryson is just putting stuff on a tee for Brooks Koepka to just grill him and live rent-free in his head. I mean, we talk about the incident after round one where he basically went to town on his driver, blaming his driver for his poor round, and you hear, you know, Koepka. I'm surprised actually Koepka didn't play the second round of that tournament with a Cobra driver just to give it to Brooks. But how much fun are you having with this rivalry?
It's been a lot of fun. It's been good for the game of golf overall. I was having fun with pretty much everything other than, you know, Brooks turning, harassing a player on the course, encouraging that and getting a brand activation involved in that. That was kind of where I was a little nervous about where this thing might go. I'm very in on little clips in post-round interviews, kind of making fun of Bryson and that little back and forth. But it's almost too easy for Brooks. I mean, Bryson gives you so much stuff to just knock out of the park. It honestly, it was like watching the home run derby, right? You're just kind of waiting on the right pitch, and the pitcher's just lobbing graded grenades in there, and you got to be a little bit patient and pick the right one because there's just, he gives you something almost every day. It's not a fair fight, but I think it's interesting. I think it might be a little too mainstream now. We might be a little bit, you know, people freaking out a little bit too much at all the little idiosyncrasies and the little rivalry, but it is real. A lot of tour guys would tell you that, you know, they're privately sending messages to Brooks, say, encouraging it, because they would love to be able to say the things that Brooks is able to say. And Brooks just is one of the guys that just doesn't care enough, and he'll give it to you straight. But Bryson, not a popular guy. This isn't surprising anyone in there. But, yeah, it's definitely been an overall positive.
Well, and the payoff's going to be when they spontaneously pair up on a Sunday at a big tournament, right? Like, that's what you need. At some point, they might just get paired up naturally, I guess, on a Thursday, Friday, although it kind of feels like most tournaments and the USGA and others are going to avoid that because maybe both parties don't want it, or at least DeChambeau doesn't want it. But you can't dictate the pairings if you're both sitting atop the leaderboard. And the payoff there is going to be spectacular, is it not, Chris, when that happens?
It is.
And Brooks?
It is, but, man, you got to have a lot of things aligned, you know, for that to happen. I think they really could have benefited from pairing these two guys up in a Friday or a Thursday-Friday, right when it was kind of bubbling and popping off, and they just kind of refused to do that. I think capitalizing on that would have been good for the game of golf, but, you know, sitting and waiting for it to happen, you know, it can go years without guys getting paired up together on the weekend if the timing doesn't work out right. So, I don't know. As of now, it's probably a little too late to pair them up in a feature group in, you know, Thursday, Friday rounds. And I think we are stuck to wait for it to actually happen. But I would have liked to have just seen them force the action and see what that interaction would have looked like. See who played well. I know a lot of people say, nothing's going to happen. They're not going to fight. It's like, yeah, I know that, but I want to see if Bryson steps up and, you know, shuts them up, beats them by six or something like that. Only interesting things could come out of that, and I think they might have missed their window there.
Yeah, it feels that way anyway. But at some point, I hope they will pair. When it happens, I think it'll be exciting, and hopefully the flame is still there in terms of the rivalry or whatever we want to call it. Check out the No Laying Up podcast. He is Chris Solomon. He's a big part of that, and it's been great having him on. Enjoy the rest of the season, FedEx, the Olympics, the whole nine, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Take care.
You got it. We should give a shout-out to Mackenzie Hughes, Corey Connors.
Corey Connors, yeah.
Right? The two of them going over to Tokyo now, representing Canada. They got a shot at medal in the way they're playing. Like the two of them have been really, really good. And Mackenzie Hughes, you know, stayed in the hunt. Connors fell off a little bit, but it's becoming routine seeing the Canadian flag atop the leaderboard, like page one at majors. It's happening. And will they break through? We just had the conversation how tough it is. You know, like waiting on a lot of really good players to finally get one. But could they break through? Yes. That's a big difference, right? Like there was a long time in Canadian golf where it was like, no one's breaking through. Like
no, exactly.
From Mike Weir and about by 07, 08, the window had closed. That might even be a little bit late. And up until basically now, there's been a good 10 or 12 years where you're like, a Canadian's not winning a major.
Yeah.
Like it's not happening. Don't expect it to happen. Now with these two and the way they're playing, it could happen. Not sure it will, but it could. And it wouldn't be shocking if you've been paying attention.
Well, Mackenzie Hughes, I believe, after day one of the U.S. Open, was the leader.
Final group on Sunday.
Yeah, and Corey Connors, you know, I think there's two tournaments right now where he's been atop of the leaderboard going into Sunday, and he just hasn't been able to overcome the nerves, and he's played, you know, a pretty poor round on the Sunday. So these are growing pains. You know, these are steps in the right direction that these, you know, Canadian guys are taken. And it's funny, we had Bob Weeks on our show this morning, and he guaranteed that a Canadian will medal in golf at the Olympics.
Is that right?
Yes.
I like it, man. I'll take that. I'll take it. I'm looking for it, and I want it.
Sprinkle a couple of dollars on that and see if Bobby Weeks will have a nice payout for you.
Okay, man. Let's go down that road. Let's see where it goes. Let's see what takes us.